Does America have Christian roots? Critics say no, but often the stones in some of our nation's founding areas say otherwise. In fact, there are plenty of examples of how biblical Christianity influenced the founding of America. You can find many of these in Washington, D.C., and even in the U.S. Capitol. Author Stephen McDowell is the president and co-founder of the Providence Foundation, not to be confused with Providence Forum, for which I serve as executive director. Stephen McDowell often leads tours on our nation's Christian roots. In a previous discussion, to which we'll link, Stephen McDowell explained the 8 gigantic paintings found in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol and how they tie into Christianity in one way or another. Now he's going to talk about the U.S. Capitol in general, other places going beyond the rotunda. Stephen, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Jerry. Great to be back with you.
Sure. And by the way, before we have you explore right into, you know, the U.S. Capitol itself, let's make sure we understand or just lay the groundwork. When we say this, we're not saying that every single founding father was a born-again Christian or, you know, something like that. But we are saying that there were Christian values that were important to the majority of the founding fathers. What else do we mean by this when we say the nation had Christian roots?
Well, we were founded upon biblical ideas, principles that came out of the Bible, formed the foundation of our civil law, the reason we started schools and colleges, our moral and cultural standards. These all came from the scripture, and even the non-believers embraced these things.
Okay, so that's what we mean. All right, so let's go to the U.S. Capitol. Give us a tour. I understand there's something called Statuary Hall. I understand there's different hallways with other statues in different parts of the, lead us where you want to. Let's say we'll start in the rotunda and tell us where to go.
Well, of course, last time I was with you, we looked at those 8 large paintings in the rotunda, all of which have a Christian history, baptisms and prayer meetings. We looked at some of the men who signed the Declaration involved in our independence, and most all of them were Christian individuals. And something we also noticed right in the rotunda, there are many, many statues of our heroes, not just in the rotunda, but in Statuary Hall and distributed throughout the U.S. Capitol. Now, these statues are heroes of our American history. Each state gets to send 2 statues that represent individuals from their state who made a significant contribution. And so the story of those statues reveal this truth that Christianity was central to the foundation of our nation, because many of those statues were Christian individuals. In fact, many of them are ministers of the gospel, like Reverend Peter Muhlenberg and Reverend Roger Williams, Reverend Marcus Whitman, and on and on. So telling the stories of those, it'd take us hours to point that out.
So you say each. Go ahead.
And I do want to point out, before maybe we tell the story of a few of those statues, you know, right off from the rotunda, there's a room set aside. It's called the prayer room. It's set aside for members of Congress to go and pray, seek the Lord. And the focal point of that prayer room is a open Bible on a table. Behind that, there's a stained glass window that shows George Washington on his knees in prayer. And engraved in that is Psalm 16:1, which says, "Preserve thee, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." And so we have a whole room set aside so members of Congress can pray. It shows Washington, of course, our one of the most significant founding fathers, our first president, who is in prayer, which certainly typifies his life. Years ago, I asked the person who kind of oversees that, "Is this used often?" They said, "Yes, all the time. There are people in here using that room."
How big is that room, by the way?
It's not large. It's maybe, you know, the size of a good bedroom in your home, something like that.
Oh, okay.
It's not large at all.
Okay,
it's a small room.
All right, you said each state was allowed to have 2 statues that they've sent. As I understand it, Massachusetts has John Winthrop, the Puritan founder of Boston, the city. He's the one who used the phrase from Jesus sitting on a hill, but applied it to their settlement, you know, back in the Massachusetts Bay. And then the other statue is Sam Adams. Both of these are very strong professing Christians, and yet that's for Massachusetts. Now, today, Massachusetts is so liberal, you'd think they'd send Ted Kennedy or something, or, you know, some other statue, but not these two guys who are very strong Christians.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, Robert Winthrop led what has been called he was the Moses of the great Puritan exodus. He led some.
Well, wait, you just said Robert, but I think you mean John, right? I'm sorry.
John Winthrop.
Right.
Yeah,
but his descendant, Robert Winthrop, later was the Speaker of the House, and he too was a committed Christian. But go ahead.
Yes, that's right. And so he was the Moses of the great Puritan exodus when some 1,000 Puritans came over in 1630 to plant a new colony, which became the Massachusetts Bay Colony. He's the one, as you mentioned, on the ship, the Arabella, on the way over, wrote that statement, a model of Christian charity, in which contains the statement that President Reagan and many others have often quoted, that we are a city set upon a hill, and that their desire was to be an example and a light to the nation, so that when the nations looked at them, they would say, Lord, make us like that of New England, of this new Puritan colony. That was their heart and their desire in establishing the colony.
Stephen, I've got to ask you a quick question. Everybody likes to say a shining city on a hill. And yet I've read a model of Christian charity, and I didn't see the word shining in there. When did that somehow get added on? Because maybe it was in another speech of Winthrop or something. I don't know. Are you familiar offhand?
Well, of course, Winthrop is quoting Jesus. Jesus spoke
right
of being a light, an example that shines, that people can see. And then we're to set our light up on a lampstand so everyone can see it. So that's what he was referencing, Jesus's suggestion or command, if you will, for us to be an example, a light. And that's what they wanted to be, a light to the nations. I don't know when a shining light was added, but it's the same concept.
Sure.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Redundant
right
statement.
Right. Okay, Sam Adams, also from Massachusetts.
Yeah, and Sam was the father of the American Revolution. He was instrumental in helping to direct, especially the early years of our struggle against Great Britain for independence. He began way back in the 1750s, actually going and training university students in principles of liberty so they would be prepared to guide our nation future. And that's why he's called the father of the American Revolution. And of course, he was involved in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, helping promote biblical ideas of liberty, standing up against tyrannical action of Great Britain when they sought to take away our God-given rights and liberties. And he recognized it's our duty to obey God rather than man, and to resist when a tyrannical government attempts to do that. So he's another marvelous man. And so those are two. Of course, there's many, many, many statues throughout the Capitol Rotunda.
Oh, I'll tell you what, why don't you go ahead and highlight a whole bunch of them. We have about 5 minutes left. Just go ahead and wax eloquent on different ones. I know, for example, there's Father Damien from Hawaii, and he was a priest and ministering to leper people and so forth, even got leprosy because of it.
That's right. He's down in the Hall of Columns below the rotunda. But in Statuary Hall, one of the gentlemen I really like his story is Marcus Whitman. Now, when you go and look at his statue, you can't help but recognize him because he's dressed in buckskin. And in one bag, he has a medical bag because he was a doctor. But in the other hand, he has a Bible because he was a medical missionary. And he and his wife, Marcus and Narcissa Whitman, really were the reason that the northwestern part of the United States, the states of Washington, Idaho, and Oregon, are part of the U.S. today and not part of Canada, because he was inspired to go and carry the gospel to the Native Americans who requested it, because in the 1830s, there's a group of Indian chiefs marched into St. Louis and said, "We've come here to get the white man's book from heaven," because they had heard from early explorers about this book, the Bible, that told people how to meet God and get to heaven. They wanted that. And so this Macedonian call was published in various religious writings and papers, and Marcus Whitman read that and felt called. I'm going to go. And Narcissa, they weren't married at the time, felt a call too. They got married in 1836. They launched out to go to the Northwest to carry the gospel to these Native Americans. And so they were the first people to blaze what became the Oregon Trail. And they went into western part of Oregon and Washington, began to preach the gospel, and many were converted to the Christian faith. And so he is honored there by that statue in Statuary Hall.
Isn't that amazing, though, when you think about it, that the Pacific Northwest is probably the most godless part of America today. But may God revive the work of his hands and think of the sacrifices of Marcus Whitman and his wife. Okay, Father Junipero Serra, California.
Yeah, he is a Catholic priest, and he was instrumental in setting up a number of mission works up on the coast of California. This is before California became a state. So he planted that seed of missions work, and is honored with a statue in the Capitol as well. There's also Reverend Jason Lee. He was a contemporary of Marcus Whitman, and he helped to settle Oregon while the Whitmans were up there in the state of Washington. But he was a minister who came to carry the gospel to the natives who lived in that area as well. Then you have Lew Wallace. Lew Wallace was a general during the Civil War, but he was challenged by a skeptic to prove that Jesus was who he said he was. Jesus was the Christ. So he set out to find out, what about the claims of Christ? And through his study of history, he was actually introduced to the author of history, he became a Christian, and then wrote one of the best-selling Christian classics of all time, Ben-Hur. And so he's honored with a statue in Statuary Hall also. There's a statue just off the little hallway from Statuary Hall of Reverend Jonathan Trumbull. Jonathan Trumbull was the governor of Connecticut during the American Revolution. He was called Father Jonathan because he had been a pastor, and he was so influential that when it came time for that time of struggle for independence, the people of Connecticut said, "We need you to minister and serve in civil government. We see you've ministered in the pulpit arena, but now we need you to minister in the civil arena." So he served as governor all throughout the American Revolution, great friends with Washington, helped support him. But it was Jonathan Trumbull as governor of Connecticut that proclaimed a day of prayer and fasting that took place on the very day that the first shot was fired, heard around the world. In April of 1775, that's when the Battle of Lexington to Concord took place. But a month earlier, in March of that year, Trumbull said, "We've got to do something because this conflict is growing." So he wrote up a proclamation recommending everybody in Connecticut go on March the next month and fast and pray and cry out to God. Is in April when he wrote it March 22nd, is April 19th when he recommended that they fast and pray. And it was that morning that the British marched into Lexington, fired upon the Patriots who stood at Lexington Green.
Lexington Concord. It was a turning point of everything. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. ProvidenceFoundation.com. Stephen, we'll have to have you on again. There's just so much history here. It's always fascinating to listen to you. Thank you for the tour.
My pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye now.